Welcome to the Journey to the New Earth podcast, where we invite you into our motivating and fun community to safely share ideas on raising consciousness and creating new systems that support humanity and Earth as a whole. We'll dive deep with fascinating interviews about near-death experiences, the world of psychics, mediums, and how channeling affects our modern lives, all while exploring where we are, what isn't working, and what we can do to facilitate the evolution of humans on a local, global, and galactic scale. Now here's your host, Kimberly.
Welcome in. I'm Kimberly. Gosh, I'm so excited about our guest today. I have been looking forward to this conversation for a long time. You guys are going to love her. Before we get started, if you're enjoying this content, go ahead and click that subscribe button and hit the notification bell so you don't miss any of our upcoming videos. And if you'd like to keep abreast of what's happening on the planet, I know a lot's going on right now and it feels a little overwhelming. You might want to sign up for our Friday morning email newsletter. The link is in the description box down below. Every Friday morning, we compile a very short, very sweet, but informative newsletter, kind of showing the things that we think are important that are happening around the planet. It's super easy, super free, super fun. I think you're going to enjoy it. The link is in the description box down below. And with that, I'd like to welcome in channel Ann Tucker. Hi, Ann. How are you?
Hi, great. Thank you for having me.
Gosh, I'm so excited about this. I told Ann I've been stalking her all day. She's probably has my energy all around her. I'm so excited to talk with you to find out how you got started as a channel. Yeah. And then maybe we can talk to the angels a little bit later about some of the things that are going on the planet. Yeah. So to begin with, how did you go from being a nice girl to being a channel?
From being so very conventional. Yes. Yeah. No, I mean, that's the thing is I think when I grew up, I wanted to be like, I thought that I wanted to be James Bond. You know, I wanted to live the corporate lifestyle. And it was all stuff that I saw. It wasn't anything that I felt, you know what I mean? And so I, not without having any greater understanding of what else was out in the world, I went down that path. And I found myself right out of college. I went to Microsoft and was there and had that experience. And it was amazing. I grew and I learned a lot. And then from there, I did take a couple years off for my children. And then I went back in as an executive coach, working with mostly tech companies and med tech companies. And in that space, it was kind of right around that time that I was having this really undeniable awakening where my gifts were coming in and I was having all kinds of crazy stuff happen. And I couldn't blend those two worlds together, particularly because my experience of being in tech, my experience of being on both sides, both when I was working in, you know, internally and then working as a consultant, like it was a very, very left-brained company and there was no room for spirit. As a matter of fact, one of the CEOs that I worked with, he tried to bring in this very, like, it was like what I would call woo-woo light. You know what I mean? It was like barely kind of a little bit woo-woo and where, you know, more like a way of sort of opening up conversations. And he brought this into the company. He got fired for it. So the idea that I could be and develop this and the call, I mean, you know how it is. When you start feeling this stuff, it just becomes like the only thing you want to do. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it and be and still be in that environment. So I had to make the very difficult decision to leave.
Now, when you said you started having your gifts come in,
yeah,
tell us what that was about. Like, what was happening? What were you hearing? What were you seeing?
Yeah, it was multiple, many different types of experiences. One of the more random, you know, like what the heck is this type of thing is, and I had already had this feeling, this experience of this feeling coming in and this desire to do things. So I had started going out and trying to find my people. I had already gone out. I was going to different events and different workshops, despite that, trying to find my way and my free time. And one of the events I went to was down in Costa Rica, and I was coming home. I had just gotten home and I was thinking about one of my friends that I met there. And as soon as I started thinking about her, all of a sudden I was in her body looking out of her eyes. And I knew I was in her body. I knew as I was looking out of her eyes, I could see she was on an airplane. I could see she was looking at the TV, that was like one TV that dropped down for three seats. And I could see what show was on. I could see the actor. I could see her look at the woman's shoes to her right. And it freaked me out. You can imagine. I immediately like popped out. And then I immediately texted her and said, "Oh my gosh, where are you right now?" You know, and a couple of hours later, when she lands, she texts me and she's like, "Yeah, I was on a plane. And yeah, I was watching that show. And yeah, the woman had these shoes." And it was exactly what I had seen. So I didn't know what to think of that, except I started practicing it. I would make appointments with friends. I would say, "Okay, tomorrow at noon, can I go and see if I can experience what you're experiencing?" And it would, every time it would work. The second time I did it, I made a plan with a woman who I knew she was going to be in town. She was going to be at a conference in a hotel. And so I had a feeling kind of where she would be, but I went in and I looked. We agreed 11 o'clock. I went in, I tuned in, but I couldn't see anything. So I thought, oh, it must not be working. You know, it only worked the one time. Like, why would it be working this time? Didn't work, but I could feel that she had something on her legs. It felt like she had, I imagined, because I knew she was going to be in a conference or a hotel, I imagined that she was sitting underneath a tablecloth and maybe the tablecloth was rubbing. It was like layers of fabric I could feel on her legs and a few other details. So I email her later. I'm like, "Oh yeah, sorry, I don't think it worked. You know, I only got this. I felt this fabric." And she's like, "Well, at 11 o'clock, we were doing a blindfolded meditation." So she had a blindfold on. and she had been cold. So she had her scarf on her lap.
Wow.
So I didn't understand why this, like, what is this? How is this going to be useful? What is this? What am I meant to do with this? You know? And then I finally came to learn that it was going to be part of my healing modality, that the way I eventually using this, the way that I eventually learned to heal, this is before I was channeling the angels. This is like a decade ago. So what I would do is I would go into the person, I would send my consciousness into them. And then the angels would come in through. I didn't know they were angels. I didn't understand. There's a lot I didn't understand back then, but they would come in through my back and then through me and into the person. So I was like the bridge. And then when I was in there, I could see what was wrong. I could see their bones. I could see, like, I could, you know, I could see what was where the dense energies were. And then working with the angels, I could move them and I would physically feel the shift. So I could be like, "Okay, here's this. We're going to work through it. We're going to move it." And whoosh, there it goes. It's gone. So it was amazing as a healing modality. It was awesome because I could literally be inside the person.
Yeah. So, but when it first started, before you're healing and understanding it, it must have freaked you out.
My gosh, yes. Yeah. And I mean, and it was lots of things like that that would happen that I'd be like, "What is going on?" Like, I mean, like one time I was at I went to go meet a friend at a bookstore. They were having a workshop. It was like and I really went to see the friend. I wasn't particularly interested in the workshop. I just went to see her. But the woman had us lay down on the floor and she was beating a drum. And we were supposed to meditate. I'm like, "Cool, we're meditating, beat drumming." And I felt every time she hit the drum, I felt like a drip of water coming out the back of my spine. And it would drip, drip, every beat drum, I drip down until I became a pool of water. And then I'm a pool of water and I'm looking up and I see all these different things come in and look at me from inside. I'm in the pool water and I see a rabbit come in and look at me. And I see another thing come in and look at me. And I'm like, and I just think that my brain is just having a field day. I'm like, "This, I just let it go. Like, whatever this means, I have no idea." And we get out, of course we have to write it down. And then she wants us to share it. And I'm like, "Oh man, mine was like, didn't make any sense at all," but I shared it, you know, and I had it all written down. So then I get home, I walk in the door and there on the table is a brand new book. And on the surface, the cover of the book is the rabbit that had looked in at me when I had been the puddle of water. And then beneath that, another book, the next image I had seen. And it turned out that my partner at the time had been at the bookstore while I had been at the workshop, and he had been looking at books. Every book he looked at was the thing that looked, so I was bi-locating.
Oh my God.
And I couldn't deny it. That's the thing. These experiences were things I could not deny because I had somebody else saying, "Yeah, that's what happened." And, you know, I could see it. It was written down. I couldn't say, "I must have imagined that." No, I had written it down and there it was. So it was, part of it was me starting to stretch and grow into things I would then use for healing. And some of it was working with my own natural skepticism, you know, me starting to develop the confidence and the belief that this was all possible.
It must have completely been a paradigm shift for you, because you're going along in this one life, and then all of a sudden, all this stuff starts leaking in. And now you have to think, well, maybe things aren't as they appear.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And in the beginning, I was super fascinated with the development of spiritual gifts. Like, I thought that was just the most interesting, like these experiences that I was having were just like, you know, amazing to me. And it was really funny because I went to all kinds of workshops on developing your intuition and developing your channeling, and everything was like, I wanted to have more experiences like that, until eventually somehow it dawned on me that I was spending all this time developing all of these abilities or skills or whatever. And when we die, we get all of them automatically.
Like, just wait. It'll come in really easy.
It was like, why am I so focused on this when this clearly I'm going to get them all? I die and I will like be so.
Yeah.
I will be. I finally realized that, yeah, it's a means to an end, that it's the connection. It's the communion with the divine is all that really matters.
Yeah. And you know what? I think about that a lot, Anne. I think, you know, we're here to be human. You might as well just, you know, eat the pie.
Yeah.
You know, go lay out by the pool, because the minute you transition, all of this is there.
Yes.
It's like a conflict. Like, do I work on the spirituality? Do I just enjoy being human? I'm not really sure. Does that ever dawn on you? Or do you ever, of course, you're so down the road now with teaching and training and all this. It's, you know, clearly that's what you're here for.
But you're right that my North Node, which is my goal in life, which is something I would suggest to anyone who has not yet checked out their North Node and their South Node, is a very easy cheat sheet way to figure out what you're supposed to be headed toward in your life. And you can see, if you print out your astrology chart, you can find your North Node really easily. Your South Node is like what you perfected before, and the things that are going to help you to achieve what the North Node is. And for me, my North Node is about finding my joy. It's about learning to live in joy. So I am meant to be immersed in the human experience, right? To find joy and the pleasures and to do fun stuff. Like, I'm meant to have fun in this life, which is like, yay, that's a cool North Node. That works for me. But yeah, it's absolutely a balance, because we're meant to have a human experience. So even if you came here with the intent to serve, and if that was like your, like, what is my purpose? My purpose is to serve, but it's always a co-purpose, you know, with the second, I really think the most important purpose is you, you know, is what is it that you are trying to experience for yourself? Yeah.
And we thought this would be fun.
Yeah. Right. It sounds so fun until you get here and you're like,
oh my God, this is a lot. So you're doing all this stuff. I think that skill and ability of being able to see out someone's eyes is fascinating. I think you're the first person that I've talked to that has that specific easy in and out type of thing. Like, it happens automatically. Very cool. So you're having all this stuff happen to you. What are the people around you saying? What's your family feeling about it? What are your friends? I mean, it's a big shift from going to a corporate profession to now really working in the spiritual community.
Yeah. And it was, you're right. I mean, my friends were not ready to come on the journey with me. I needed all new friends. And so I tried. Like, I sent an email out to like a group of like 10 women saying like, hey, who would like to get together to talk about this kind of stuff, like once a month or something? And nobody even responded. Like, no one even replied to my email. And so that was kind of heartbreaking. And I realized, no, you know what? I mean, like, I can't ask people to be interested in something they're not interested in. So I decided to just really put myself out there. And I rented a theater in downtown Bellevue, which is the city I live in or lived in. And I put a post on Meetup and said, like, I called it Wisdom Soup. And I said, anybody want to come? And I put myself on the stage as the first guinea pig. And I decided to do a talk about this methodology I created. And it was all about souls and stuff like that. And I decided, okay, let's just see who comes. And it was like 25 people showed up. And some of those people are still some of my close friends today. And it grew, like, now Wisdom Soup, I still keep it going. I use it as a way of sort of shining a light on other spiritual practitioners and people who are out there doing the work. And but now it's got like 1,500 members. And which is really cool. But it started, the only reason I started it was because I needed new friends.
Yeah.
I needed to find some people who were willing to come on the ride with me. But my partner at the time was sort of a reluctant, I would say he was reluctantly in agreement. And my kids at first thought mom's getting weird, you know, like mom, like getting a little weird. And they kind of didn't want me to tell their friends, or they didn't want me to talk about it in front of people. And then eventually they discovered that I could read people. They discovered that they could ask me, like, does this boy like me? Does this girl like me? Like, what did they think of me? And they discovered I could tell them and that it worked. And then they were sold. Now it's like they want me to channel for them all the time.
And now they're all over it. You've become supremely handy, mom.
Very handy, very handy skill set. So I literally have to put limits on it. I'm like, that's a gratuitous question. You don't need me to channel on that.
Yeah, it's a little invasive. These people have privacy.
Yeah, and you know, and that is the thing. Like, as I share with you, like how these gifts came in, is I became very, very conscious of not invading people's privacy. I never ever look at someone's energy without their permission. And the angels have actually told me that I'm too concerned about that. They say that that any gift we're given is meant to be used, and that it's like any of our senses. Do you tell yourself not to smell the person next to you, or not to hear the person next to you, if it's a natural ability? You know, if it's a natural sense that you have, they say you shouldn't be so uptight about that. So I try to relax about it, but I still do always ask before I tune into someone's field. Or if my kids are asking me about somebody, or somebody's asking me to read a person, I will read what's apparent if I was to meet them in person.
Yeah. And I think that that's something that we're going to see the shift to on this planet, apparently. You know, most civilizations, advanced civilizations, they have more of a unity consciousness and know exactly what everyone is thinking all the time. There's not the privacy that we have in this duality system.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be shifting into that. And I think it feels a little uncomfortable because we're so used to having
to work with.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're totally right. We're used to having the separation, the concept of, and it's been very, some of the work the angels have done has been to help us to learn to trust and to relax about being seen. And to recognize, it's sort of like, imagine that the big flash of light comes and all of a sudden we're like, yay, unity consciousness. And we come outside and we're like, we love everyone except that person, you know, like everyone but that one. I don't want them to see me. So, you know, and so it can't be that. It has to be a thing where we are in a state of trust and openness, where we feel so confident in our own connection, so aligned, that we can be among anyone and still be in our truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be a huge shift, which we're in the middle of right now.
Yeah.
But before we get there, I want to find out, so how did you transition from working in the corporate world? And I think, you know, looking back now, it almost seems like the perfect experience for you because you got comfortable talking to people. You had a lot of confidence in communicating with others. Yeah. So those skills were really perfect for what you're doing now, just in a different arena. So how did the transition work?
Yeah. And you're right. Like I really believe that like our lives are perfect, that whatever the path is, that whatever we've been through is the exact right thing that we needed to get us where we're meant to go. Even if it seems totally unrelated, it's not, you know, that it was somehow instrumental. And it's really true. Like I have leaned on so much of sort of my foundational years now, you know, and but the moment of transition was, so I was talking to my partner at the time and just saying, yeah, I really feel this pull. I really want to do this stuff. And so he asked me, so what would you do if you were coaching you, what would you tell yourself to do? Cause I was an executive coach at the time. And I thought that's a great question. And I decided if I was coaching me, I would tell myself to double down, to go all in and to spend a year. If this was, I felt as strongly as I did, which I did, I would say, take a year and how would I spend it? What would I do in 1 year? If I was going to give myself that runway to explore this, to go as deep as I could, to see if it would take me somewhere. So that's what I did, is I kind of plotted out the year and I sort of picked all these different events I was going to go to, the workshops I was going to go to, and I just dedicated myself. And at the end of that year, and I had lots of these experiences, I started to understand my own modality. I took some healing training. I took a couple different healing trainings to try different things. And then I became a healer. And so at the end of the year, I was working as a healer, and that became a full-time, you know, full-time profession. And then that grew into, you know, eventually the angel said, no more healing sessions. That's not what we're doing anymore. We're doing a new thing. And it's always like that. Every 2 years, they're like, you know what you're doing? Stop doing that. We're going to do something else. Here's the new thing. But yeah, so it was that all in. It's really like, okay, all, if you were going to be all in, what would you do? And it's not to say that because people need a runway, you know, like I heard from someone recently, he's like, I really want to stop my work and I want to, you know, my business, my angel business isn't making any money, but I really want to do this. So I want to quit my work and start it. And it's like, I love that call and the passion. I love it, but you need a runway. You know, you need maybe work half time, do something so you can pay your bills. What? So you don't have fear. You know, so you're not panicked. So you can give yourself the time, but you know, you gotta have a runway of some sort. Yeah. So
yeah. And I think that that's a challenging thing, particularly when you get involved in the spiritual community and you realize you create your own reality.
Yeah.
But we are still in this physical world.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where we have, it's like walking that fine line between, yeah. Oh, this is what I want to create, but I'm not there yet.
Right.
Now I'd still got to show up, you know,
yeah,
or the 8 to 5 or this and that. It's that figuring out the balance between being in the day to day and then creating what you want down the road.
And it took me, I would say it was about 6 years before I was really doing well in my work, where I was earning enough to sustain myself comfortably. It was 6 years. And that was showing up every day, doing the work, doing whatever I could. You know what I mean? It was 6 years of constant. So you got to have a runway. You got to, you know what I mean? And that was then, this is now, times are different. Energy is faster. So it may not be that, you know, it may be much faster, but you still, it's really, to me, it is, you know, what was the secret for me? It was just showing up and trying. It was believing I could and continuing to apply myself. Yeah.
How did it feel for you personally to be able to shift from doing the corporate gig to something that was more energy centered?
It was wonderful and awful. It was both, you know. Like, it took me a long time to get really comfortable telling people I channel angels, you know, and that was a journey for me. Like, I went from doing something that was so accepted that you could walk into any room and tell people what you did and they'd be very comfortable with your answer and they'd have a conversation with you, to doing something that it was a conversation killer. I channel angels. People would be like, oh.
Did I mention I have to go now?
Right. Right. Some people would be like, oh, let's talk about it. But it was often, you know, it was, people just didn't know what it was or how to respond or what to ask, you know? So there was a little bit of that, and the awareness that it was, yeah. So that was another part of my journey that I had to take. And it's amazing now to be in a place where I will tell anybody with joy what I do.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that feels amazing. So, but that it was not overnight. That was a process that I had to go through of getting comfortable with being, I think all of us who are on this path, we are groundbreakers. You know, we are not doing the normal thing. We are groundbreakers, and we are working against some stereotypes that are pretty ingrained about, you know, the rainbow parade and, you know what I mean? And people, you know, that were, you know, new age flakes, you know, that kind of stuff. We are working against those stereotypes.
Yeah. But I do think it's shifting. I mean, I have seen a tremendous change in people's perception about energy, about what we're really doing here. And I'm seeing, oh gosh, maybe it's just in myself, maybe you're feeling it too, but more of a longing for something different.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And even like the way the word energy has become part of, like, anybody, you can talk to anybody, you can, oh yeah, the energy wasn't felt, you felt bad in there. And every meditation is now like so normal. It's like mundane. It's so normal. And everybody knows about meditation. Like, it, you're right. It is just like we said, the energy is getting faster. The acceptance of these things is more and more. People now know what I'm talking about when I'm chanting. So even just in the time that I've been doing this, it has gotten so much easier. So, and I think that I have opened, the world has opened, you know, and I say that it was wonderful and it was awful in terms of this coming out party that I had, that the wonderful parts were exceptional. You know what I mean? The moments of discovery and I'm still, every time I channel, I'm amazed. Like, you know, like, you think I would get used to it? I never get used to it. I never do. And it's always the most, every time is the most amazing experience. And so, yeah, so it's like, it's incredible. And then it was also letting go of all of those preconceived ideas about what I'm supposed to be and what life is supposed to be and how will I fit in? How will I be liked? All I had to let go of all that.
You know? Yeah. And I look at the people that are doing work like you, and what I see is people who are extremely flexible.
That's true. Yeah, that is, you know, you're right that it, like in my human design, my whatever the center that is in is mine is like 100% open. Like I'm, it would read as being like 100% open-minded. And I have other ones that are some open, some closed, but that one stuck out because it's like, yep, that's right. And
yeah.
You're flexible. You're right. It's a good answer. Yeah. Why do you think that is?
Well, I don't think, you know, it's like, I think about all the people that came onto the planet to kind of help with this transition. And, yeah. And in the job interview, they're like, on a scale of 1 to 10, how flexible are you? That was like the number one criteria for the job.
I think you're right. Yeah, I think you're right. Because it does take, it can be a 180 change. Do you know what I mean? Like it's, you have to be very adaptable. Unless you were born into it. And there are people out there these days that are in their 20s or 30s who were born into it, who were just like, oh, my parents taught me how to channel. Like you are so.
Yeah, they came in with it, you know. Different now.
Yeah.
So we are, you know, let's talk about the shift. And I have listened to you and the angels, and I want to talk with you about something in particular. They're talking about, or they've spoken about events, three events.
Yeah.
And I can remember, Anne, back in like 2017, 18, in the spiritual community, everyone was talking about the shift.
Oh, interesting.
The shift. And it was going to be, the sky was going to explode with color, and it was going to be a energy everywhere, which sounds so much like what the angels are saying right now. Can you talk a little bit about what they've shared with you about the three events?
Yeah, absolutely. So there are three waves that are coming. And these are, and when they first started talking about this, I didn't know if these were literally like waves of water or waves of energy or waves of whatever. But because I, you know, I'm really interested in dreams, and I have seen hundreds, literally hundreds of prophetic dreams. And these, being interested in dreams, I can read the signs for prophecy in a dream. So I can see if a dream is prophetic. It's very, very clear based on what happens in the dream and how it's presented, if it's prophetic or not. Most are not. Very few are actually prophetic. But I have seen hundreds of the ones that really are prophetic showing waves of water or waves of energy. Both. I've seen both in dreams. I've seen a lot of tsunami dreams, loads of tsunami dreams that are prophetic. I'm in the US, and so I've seen prophetic dreams. I know a lot of people that are on the coast. I've seen prophetic dreams about tsunamis hitting the West Coast, hitting the East Coast. But the angels recently clarified the first wave is a wave of energy, a wave of light. And they said it's solar energy. Solar is how they referred to it. They didn't say which solar. They didn't say if it's from our sun or from another sun. It could be the, there's a lot of different possibilities where it could be coming from. But they have said that this first wave of light, the way they referred to it, they said it will be the moment that we look back on in the future. And we will say that is the moment that everything changed. So it's a big one. It's a really big one. And they've said that we are heading to a time and to a place where we will, there really is a movement towards unity, towards oneness. And we get there through a deeper sense of telepathy, emotional telepathy. So it seems like that's how we make the bridge, where we start to be able to feel each other's feelings much more than we do now. Like we feel them a little bit right now, but the sensation is so quiet compared to our other senses for most people. But imagine if that sensation, and they've described this in one of their most recent messages, they were talking about the new senses that are coming in. And we have our five senses of the body, our regular senses. But they said, imagine if you had a new sense come in that gave you 10 times as much information as your current senses do. Which one would you use? You know, do you use your sight more or your touch more? Well, we tend to get a lot more information through our sight. So we tend to rely on our sight. Well, imagine if you have this new perception where you just get 10 times as much information. And part of that information is we will be able to interact with each other and really feel and understand another person's perspective. So which would change the world? Imagine negotiations between people if they could feel each other's feelings, if they could feel their feelings as strongly as if they were their own, right? That would be, it would change everything. So this wave of light, they said that it won't miss anybody, that you could be in the you know, corner of a dark basement, you know, three floors below the ground, and they said it'll still get you, that it will soak into the earth. And they said that that the only way it will miss us, the only way we cannot be ready. So if people are worried, am I ready? Is it gonna, you know, what work do I have to do before this flash of light comes? The only way we cannot be ready is if we are in resistance. And what resistance looks like is trying to hang on to the way things used to be. So if we are holding on tight to the way things used to be, trying to make our lives follow, and remember you said flexibility is like the most key important thing? Totally. So, because they said, yeah, that experience of really like being tied into, it's almost like, say you decided as a little kid that you were going to grow up and you know, and go to vet school or whatever. And now this flash of light comes, but for whatever reason, you can't go to vet school. How devastated, how tight are you going to hang on to that dream of vet school or whatever it is? Do you know what I mean? That it's going to be like, this has to be how my life is, or it's not worth living. Like that closes you down. It's resistance. It closes you to the light. And that doesn't mean it's a one-time thing. It means that in that moment, you're closed to the light. So my understanding of it is that this experience, that there will be a lot of people who are like, yay, bring it on. Let me soak it in. Like, I love it. This is great. Bring me more light. And then there will be a lot of people who are like, what the heck is this light? And then there will be some people who are like, I don't want any of this light. And the people in the middle, I think, are going to be looking to all of the healers, and all of the volunteers who have come at this time saying, show me how to get what you've got. How do I get me some of that light? So, yeah.
Now, clearly there are going to be people that are going to love it and embrace it. I'm going to be one of them. I'm going to be out there in my bathing suit, wanting more of it.
No sunscreen.
Nothing. Yeah, but then there are people that really don't want things to change. Are they going to shift into a different frequency? In other words, how is this going to resolve out with all the billions of people on the planet?
Yeah, such a great question. Because I was wondering about that too. And I was looking, and so I was looking just clairvoyantly at a neighborhood. And I was like, okay, so just to help me understand what's going to happen down the road, what will this neighborhood look like after the shift? And so they gave me a vision, and it was, I'm looking and I see all the houses look just the same. There's not at all what I expected. What I expected was to see the whole neighborhood like mobilized and working together. And, you know, that was what I was kind of looking for. And that is not what I saw. What I saw was this house has people in it. That house has people in it. And these houses have no one in them. And that freaked me out. And so I channeled immediately, like, what is that about? Like, where did the people go? And it was a lot of people. It was more people were not there than were there. It would be almost, I would say, like a 20 to 30% of the houses had people in them, and the others didn't. And so I channeled, and the angels like said, okay, don't worry. Maybe, you know, they were like, it's not that. It's not that they've gone somewhere. It's not that they've disappeared or gotten sick or died or whatever. It's not that. They said, they were showing me that vision to help me understand their perspective of who is in the light. Where does the light fall? The light is falling on these houses. These houses are still in shadow. So it's not that the people are gone. They're in there. They're just not yet in the light. And so they said that we will be coexisting, that there will be those of us who are living in a very new way, who have gone through an enormous shift, who are working with our reality in a very different way. And then there will be those people who are not, who are still experiencing life the way that it has been, except that the world is going to be changing all around us in greater and more dramatic ways. So they might be experiencing the fear of that, right? They might be experiencing the fear of change, or they might be trying to figure out how to get on board with the new light as quickly as they can. But
so do you see it as almost two different Earths? One stuck in the old vibration and one in the new?
There, I know, and it's a really, people ask a lot about, because there's been a lot of different conversations about two Earths, and the angels did talk about before that it's almost like there's like a mitosis where there's a separation and a stretching, and you have this frequency and you have that frequency. My understanding is that anybody who is on Earth right now will be able, unless something happens, that natural disaster or some other kind of event that cuts their life short, that people will live out their lives, even if they are at a lower frequency. So if you have family members who you're like, they are not getting on this bus, no matter what I say, like, it doesn't mean that they're going to all of a sudden like disappear and turn into like, you know, and go to the old earth or the new earth, you know what I mean? That you are going to, it's like, no, they'll still be in your house or they'll still be in your family or whatever, that they will get to live out the rest of their physical existence and having always the opportunity to move into the light. But once they cross over, then every soul will be making a choice. And that choice will be, do you want to be in this new frequency, in this new higher vibration? If so, they can reincarnate here on earth. If they don't choose that, and it is a perfectly valid choice for someone to stay in the 3D karmic construct, because it's an amazing school, right? It is for someone who feels like they have more to learn there. They feel like what they really need to learn is to be confronted, right? To be challenged the way we have been on the earth so far. If they feel like they still need that, if they've got room to grow in that way, and they feel like they need that strong, or it's going to be beneficial in some way, then they might choose to go. And there's going to be a new planet. There's a new planet. And anybody who crosses over, who doesn't want to come back to the earth, will reincarnate on that new planet. But the earth, there's one earth. So that, I mean, in terms of from our experience and the way I am shown, that this, we will be here in this earth, and this earth will be now vibrating at a higher frequency, and people will not be able to be incarnated here unless they are compatible with that higher frequency.
Yeah. So what are the other two events that the angels have talked about?
Yeah, two more waves. I understand that the waves get stronger, that the first one is that's our wake up call. And they say the first wave hurts no one, that it is, they said it's the one that we will look back on, which means if they say we will look back on it and say it's the moment that changed everything, to me, that says that we might not realize right away how important this wave of light is. We might just say, wow, what was that? What was that crazy splash in the sky? You know, what just happened? People might not realize the depth of the change that it's creating. The second wave and the third wave, my understanding is each one gets stronger. And I think that there are events, sometimes difficult events associated with these waves of light, because there is a correlation between solar energy and earth movement, all kinds of stuff. So the angels have talked a lot about some of the natural disaster. They talked about that earth rift, a big earth rift that they're expecting, which would create some challenges in our world for sure. They've talked about one of the important things of us changing is that the structures of our lives right now hold us very much in place. That how can you go and pursue your spiritual calling if you owe a bunch of taxes? You know what I mean? Like, how do you do it? And so, yeah, they need to unravel a lot of systems, a lot of the things that keep us in the formation. Sort of like I was joking about how I was very, very conventional, you know what I mean? And I thought I needed to go down this path and get this degree and then go work for this company. And this was how, and then I needed to have two children. And I was on that path, you know, and all of that, we need to learn to listen to our hearts and to not just make choices based on convention and the requirements of living in a society.
Yeah. So, and that's the change that I see shifting with, you know, my social group, the people that I see, they're wanting to get back to something that feels good.
Yes.
And I think a lot of the systems that we have right now were built and we thought that they were going to be good for us. And ultimately, they probably didn't really nurture humanity. There was an agenda or something other than really nurturing the collective on the planet. And it's like, I'm happy to have everything come down at this point.
Yeah. And I have faith we will find our way to a better, gentler world. But I think it is. And I have seen, the angels have given us quite a few road signs along the way. They've been dropping breadcrumbs, and many of those breadcrumbs have already come to pass. Very specific things that they have talked about that have now come to pass, which I blew my mind, but they have happened. And to me, I see that as they're saying, okay, look, we're getting closer. Here's another breadcrumb. And then we see it in our reality and we know, okay, this is, you know, it's happening, it's coming. But so major, major changes in the world. And I think overall a move towards living more locally, you know, living more, finding ways to get our needs met around us locally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In a much more collective consciousness, mm-hmm. working together, much more community oriented,
yes.
much more human centric. And I don't want to use, you know, this some kind of like buzzwords, but just things that feel better.
Right.
And
yeah.
getting on the freeway every morning and driving an hour yes. to an office and sitting under fluorescent lights and blah, 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 blah. That yeah. just doesn't sound fun to most of us anymore.
At all, right? At all. Yeah. And yeah. I think it's harder and harder for us to tolerate it. And yeah, and I think that, but we can't get free of that until all of the different things surrounding it. It's like, it's all interdependent and interwoven. And these systems are so much larger than any one of us. They are so big. I think it's really interesting. I was hearing about what happens in a power outage and what happens to like the grid going down. Like I was talking about it in Texas, how they were like this close to having the grid completely fail, and how it's not just a thing where they can turn around and just like turn it on again. Like apparently it becomes this really, really incredibly complicated puzzle because all of these systems are interdependent. Like they have to have coal in order to make the electricity work. But they, in order to get coal, they have to have trains, which require electricity. And it was like, which one comes first, the train or the, you know what I mean? Like it was, and how do they get it turned on again? And it was amazing to see how, I think that the world is like that, that these giant, giant systems that are working right now, they're all incredibly interdependent. And there may just be a moment where everything, like one fails and then like the whole system falls apart. And I know how terrifying that is for a lot of people because people are very, very invested in having a life outcome that is predictable, you know, that they, where they know they're going to be safe. And I guess I would just say, what if the whole paradigm changed where the concept of being safe looked like something very, very different?
Yeah, a very different perception of safe. I think that's where we're heading.
Yeah.
We're always safe.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, how about we do a little channeling? Would you like to bring the angels in?
Yeah, you got it.
Okay. All right.
I'll just guide us through a little grounding exercise since the angels frequently bring through frequencies and it's helpful if everybody is grounded. So, all right. So go ahead and drop down from your tailbone a nice thick root that goes down through the floor and down into the ground and follow it down with your mind as it grows and extends, growing deeper and deeper into the earth, following it down where it's dark and cool, extending longer and longer. And follow it all the way down to the very, very center of the earth. And when it reaches that center point, feel the root sprout and anchor itself in. And as it does, notice that the root is pulling gently and becoming taut. And feel as that tautness moves all the way up the root and now all the way up your spine, anchoring you securely to the earth. And I'll go ahead and bring in the angels. Gentle beings, we are with you. You may begin your inquiry, and we would have you in understanding before we begin that all roads, all inquiries lead to one thought, one shared opinion, one shared moment, one shared life, that all things of what you are and who you will become are intertwining at the deepest root of the human understanding of living, that the next beginnings beyond this one shall come inscribed with lifetimes of comprehension within them, all that you are and all that you have done, all that you have shared independently and within, shall be included and incorporated into the wisdom that you are part of. And all of this, the enormity of the burden that you have carried, shall be within the comprehension of what it is to be living. And we have and shall share a conceptual understanding of where things shall part and be different, that in the new contextual framework of the human life, you will find yourself released from that which has been karmic, from the heaviness, from the burden of which we are speaking. You will find yourself in a haven of self-comprehension, where your own living is beget from action within the knowledge of your own truth. And then at this point in your own understanding, you take part in the comprehension of all beings and draw from this into the personality that you inhabit. And you become one with all in understanding soul and self. And this then translates into physicality, the reality that you are made of. And we would say to have and to hold within yourself the knowledge that you are one with everything, and all things lead to one. Thus, all questions shall be answered in due time. But for the present moment, we share ourselves and any answers we can give.
Thank you for joining us today. I really appreciate your time. Earth is going through a dramatic shift. What's the purpose of this shift?
The shift is not solely for the guardianship of the human. It originates and instigates with the Earth herself. She is, in common with yourself, a mortal being. She has, as humanity does, a passage through time and through understanding. She is on a developmental focus, and she is becoming in her own energy. She is transmuting energies which bind her into lower frequencies and becoming something more of herself, just as you are. And you are of her in your human form. You are of the earth. You are tied to her from within her. You are the neurons, the thoughts that she does share. You are the thinking that she does. Thus, you are created from within her. And as she does prepare to evolve most substantially, you cannot still bear the current thinking of the quagmires and dissolutions which draw her downward. There must be new thoughts, lighter frequencies which evolve into the fruition of her own becoming. Thus, it is the earth herself that drives your evolution. Do you understand us?
Yes, I do. Thank you. That was beautiful. So what you're saying is that Earth Gaia herself decided on this shift, and because of her choice, humanity as a whole is going along with her.
Correct.
Okay, beautiful. You know, here on Earth, everyone's talking about 2024. Like, it's going to be such a important year with lots of big changes. What I'm wondering is if you can share with us some skills that we can take with us or really focus on to make 2024 an experience that is enriching instead of scary.
Yes, we like this questioning very much. Thank you. We say loving each other is the skill most necessary to appreciate and to acquire loving, most purposefully loving yourself in darkness, in wholeness, in completion. Loving. Loving is the central focus that you must acquire for yourselves. Loving in wholeness, in completion, without condition, unconditional loving. Loving. Loving is the passageway. Loving is the conveyor of your heart. Loving will draw you through. Loving carries you beyond the need and necessity for all other methods and means of self-preservation. We may advise you to also carry within and for yourself methods by which to purify water. This is necessary and shall be important in times to come. Methods and means by which you can purify water. There are many ways of doing this. There are many methods. Many shall work. But importantly, to have one which can be operated without the use of energy, this we would advise for all persons, for all peoples, to have this. It will not be necessary for everyone, but for many. Thus, we wish to express this universally, for it to carry the meaning that all may be prepared. Do you understand us?
Yes, thank you. What types of system, we're looking at systems that are breaking down on the planet right now that probably you know, in the opinion of some humans, aren't necessarily good for humanity. Can you talk to us about the systems that are going to be breaking down and what's going to rise up as a result?
Yes, we will discuss this at length. The many systems of prosperity, which are foundational to your current success and vibration, are no longer fluent in feeling the energies to come. They cannot live concurrently with the new environment, which is shaping and developing around yourselves and through yourselves. These systems do include the comprehensive organization of peoples among this plane onto fields of understanding you call nations, the separation of peoples into populations that gather and protect resources from and away from one another. This cannot endure. There must be a comprehensive overhaul in resource management in this plane of existence. There must become amongst yourselves an ownness to one another, an understanding that you shall thrive all as one together. And this can become a new way of learning to be, a new way of learning to be. We have understanding that this complexity, which has evolved in this plane where separateness is devised and designed, where power and resources are held by few, not many. And this then is exemplified in territorial wars, which tear at yourselves in current moments. All of this must fold in upon itself and break down the barriers at will. It will not be us that demonstrates the loosening of these bonds that tie you so. It shall be the energies that pull upon the earth, the great vacuum created within her as the expulsion of energies and matter comes to pass.
As these changes start taking effect on Earth, what can we see? What type of changes are we going to see in humanity, in individual people? Will their spiritual skills become more apparent? Will their attitudes change? What can we prepare for?
Yes, yes, you will find yourselves greatly enlivened in your spiritual comprehension of us. We shall appear before yourselves in greater numbers. More persons shall see us, and this we enjoy very much, a prospect we are looking forward to. We shall become more apparent to you. You shall become more able to comprehend the light that transforms you now. You shall see it in rainbow expression, as though illuminated and prismatic, and it shall shine into the earth, and you shall become aligned with her to such a degree that the patterns and focal points of energetic expression become malleable, and you may express your own self in greater direction through the understanding of how energy is transmuted and the movement of said energy can be done on this earth. Thus, your own ability to create the expression of your soul is enlarged significantly. You understand the patterns of energy on the earth. You see differently. Energy becomes visible to yourselves. Do you understand us?
Yes, I do. That sounds like fun.
Yes, it will be fun. Yes.
How will life on the planet change? Personally, I'm longing for a more peaceful, gentle, organic existence on Earth. Is that what we're heading towards, or is it going to be something different than that?
Not all will find this path very soon, for the orchestration of this change must come with some violent undertow There is unfortunately much unwinding to be done, and the disturbance of the earth has potency, and this must be endured for some time. However, we wish to guard you against the supposition of fear and fearful talking, because the earth herself is very large and you are very small, and there can be great events you do not know of that live concurrently with yourselves, that many things are occurring now that you have no personal knowledge of, and life will go on like this, that what you know and have and do may change to some degree, but not in all ways, that not all change happens everywhere all at once. Do you understand us?
Yeah, I do. When we talk about the changes on the planet, and so many people will say, humans will say, I'm just one person, what can I do? You know, being frustrated with the systems that are existing that aren't really working. How much power does an individual human have to impact what's happening on the planet?
One human being is never alone, is never by themselves. Each human being carries with them ties to all they know and have ever done. They carry energetic bonds that move through them and carry out frequencies which affect many others, both those they live concurrently with and those they have known at some time before, and many beings who they've never known but who have incarnated previously with them. Thus, their impact is legion. It moves beyond the realm of your own knowing. And from this placement of this soul in this life, what will can be done shall extend far beyond their own knowledge into the future to affect the many beings that are yet unborn. It has a ricochet effect, the knowledge that they bring, the transformational journey that they are on. It ricochets and impacts beings beyond their knowledge. They cannot now understand the degree to which their own transformation yields change for humanity. For it is this that we focus upon, the transformation of each individual, the degree to which they feel they are loved by themselves, that they are full of acceptance for their own journey, that they allow themselves to be in the freedom of their own expression. This fluidity, the formation of their identity in the expression of their role on this plane, becomes magnetic and unfolds in all directions at once, and it influences the all and the every. Thus, the impact cannot be undersold. Do you understand us?
Yes, I do. Thank you. When we talk about big changes, that can be scary for humans, particularly on this planet. How can you suggest that we manage these changes, staying in a place of, excitement and interest in the future and not getting stuck in fear?
To be in and of the heart space, to understand yourself alone, to exist for the purpose of loving, to love yourself and another, to stay within this sphere of love permeates your being, and the fluidity of your moving, your ability to work within the confines of the structure as it evolves, it creates for you a new realm, a new method, a new way to tolerate change, to become what is, to become that self that evolves into the fruition of a new way of living. It is a method by which you alter your own frequency in tune with the earth herself and rise into a new state of being and becoming. Fear, yes, does pull against this self, for all is unknown and complex and difficult to talk about and difficult to understand. And we are aware of this, and we call upon the soul that is within your heart to allow you to feel yourself loved, to know that you are loved, to call upon us, your angels, voluble, to say it out loud, to allow us to instill in your heart the perception of love and loving care, to be loved, to hold love, to amplify loving frequency. This will create within yourself a frequency of rising, lifting, allowing yourself to perceive differently, to see the world in new ways, to see what is coming, not what is being lost, to focus upon the new life, not the old, to see what hatches, what is the new beyond. The unfolding cannot be perceived through old lenses. It must be outside of expectation. It must not be intertwined with desires that have a foundation in the way things currently are. It must be through the ability to flow into the light with love in your heart and to allow yourself to be perceived in a new way. Do you understand us?
Yes, thank you. Last question. Can you share with us where we're going, where humanity is headed, and some exciting things about our future?
Humanity will find yourselves among the stars. You are not to remain limited to this earthly realm, though you are of the earth, her bystanders, her watchers, her guardians you shall become. But you shall inhabit the sphere beyond this earth and become citizens of the galaxy, of the universe. You shall extend your influence beyond this world. And in the process, humanity shall develop technologies and technological understandings that create limitless boundaries for yourselves, for health, for knowledge, for ability to travel, and this shall improve your existence substantially.
Oh, that's exciting. Thank you so much for your time today. Can we have Anne back?
You are very welcome. Hey,
how are you doing?
I'm good. How's it going?
Really good. Gosh, that was a fun conversation. You'll be interested in it when you can watch it back again.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'll look forward to it.
Yeah, one of the things that they shared, and you probably saw a vision of it, is where humanity is going. And that's exciting.
What were they talking? Remind me, because I don't remember the question.
Just an unlimited ability to impact health.
Yeah.
And technology, and that we're going to be, you know, members of the universal community, no longer stuck on the planet.
Yeah.
Just a lot of really fun stuff, which I'm so excited about. I hope I get to come back.
Oh my gosh, I know, right? I know, exactly. Yeah, it really sounds like, it sounds like to me from everything that they've been saying that it's like once we go through the shift, and they've said that what's required is we will go through this shift that will change people, which makes peace on earth a possibility.
Yeah.
That it's that we have to change. We will change because of these frequencies hitting the planet. Then from that new state of consciousness, peace becomes possible. And once we hit peace, then we can become citizens of the out there.
Yeah.
And then at that point, apparently we start getting a lot of help. And I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine what this is going to be like.
We're going to be meeting the neighbors.
I know.
I know, that's going to be so fun. And you know what I think about, Anne, is I look around at the planet and I think it has such incredible potential to be this beautiful paradise oasis.
Yeah.
When it's cared for in a way that's gentle and nurturing, and humans are happy and they're healthy and they're cooperative, and there's a sense of unity. It's just, I'm so excited about what's coming, and I'm not going to miss this stuff.
Yeah.
We've gone through it all. And but we've learned a valuable lesson. You know, we've learned really, really what doesn't work.
Yeah, very true. Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's very interesting for us to see like the evolution that we've been through. It's kind of like what you and I were talking about at the beginning, that whatever our life has been until now has been perfect. Like, and the experience of Earth until now has been perfect. That we have been through a process of an overexpression of our own masculine energy. Not that that means male. I mean, everybody has masculine and feminine, yin and yang energy. And the earth has yin and yang energy. And our consciousness, the collective consciousness, we've been in a process of the overexpression of the masculine. And we need to bring that back into right balance where we have our divine masculine and our divine feminine. And as we do that, we move away from this period of separation, this period of mine and not theirs, this all of the qualities that we would attribute to the negative, really the things in our society that create the greatest difficulties are from this imbalance. And so it's about trying to get us back into balance. But in the process, we learn super important lessons. As we've been in the state of imbalance, we've learned incredibly important lessons about separation and self and identity and will and stuff that we would have never been able to get to. So imagine if we had jumped right into unity without going through separation first, and we would have been like the Borg. You know what I mean? We would have been like one mind, like bees, you know, but instead we're going to be carrying the lessons of what it is to have identity and will and individual desire and bring that into the collective and say, yes, I'm part of the all and I'm still me.
Mm-hmm. And that's exciting. And I think that all the struggles that we've gone through on earth, all the challenges, all the conflicts, each one of those is rich with lessons for as we move forward, get off the planet and start becoming, you know, part of the gang here in this part of the universe, we can really say, oh, we've done that and that doesn't work. We've seen that doesn't work. And here's why.
Yeah.
We have such an education to be able to go out and expand and grow and become this incredible civilization, you know, stewards of earth and give so much because we've learned so much.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of goosebump time. Fun stuff. Well, thank you so much for your time today. How can we find out more about you?
Thank you for asking. I'm easy to find. I'm on YouTube under my own name. So my YouTube channel is Ann Tucker. It's Ann with an E. Or my website is also Ann Tucker, anntucker.com.
Yeah. And what type of readings, talk about what kind of services you offer, because I'm kind of curious.
Yeah, for sure. So I am predominantly a healer. I'm focused on helping people to move into the new energies and to also heal, to create that own. When we're talking about the balancing of the masculine and feminine. So I have healing programs, one called Peace Bathing, which is a monthly program which helps people to move into and with the new energies that are coming. And that's a monthly meditation with the angels that people use for the month. And it's each one is, again, rolling with the energies that are coming. And then the other offering is called Soul Convergence. And it's a deeply healing program. It's 11 weeks with the angels. It's a very, very involved process, but the results are shockingly amazing. It helps you to bring your masculine, your feminine energies into balance, which aligns you, which helps to increase your connection. So your spiritual gifts start coming in. It's just amazing. It's an amazing process. So those are the two main ways that I'm working at the moment.
Okay, wonderful. And we'll have all that information listed down below. She'll be easy to find because I know you're going to want to check her out. Thank you, Ann, so much for your time today. I hope you'll come back and see us again sometime.
Thank you so much. I would love to.
All righty. All right. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Bye now.
Thank you for joining us on the Journey to the New Earth podcast. We hope we've created a safe space for our listeners to find out more. Whether you're curious or have a deeper reason for joining our community, please share our podcast on your socials, and with a simple click to subscribe, we'll invite you back to our next episode. Remember, we're all in this journey to the new earth, so let's enjoy the ride.